This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 22nd pick, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to one and all here. Wednesday, March 17th at Gillette Stadium.
The only draft, guy in the room not wearing green.
Draft pod
today. All the world's a Perillo. Everyone drinks to get drunk.
We do have a draft podcast to get to, and we are going to handle the running backs today. But more importantly, the big news coming out of Foxborough.
Yes, right. Let's break it right here and now, Paul.
Eric,
come on.
You talked to David Patton today.
I did. And Lee Bodden.
Yeah, a couple of Patriots around today.
How does David Patton get billing over Lee Bodden?
I actually did it intentionally. I went with the lesser guy for that.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, there are some Patriots players milling around as part of the offseason program, but we'll save that for PFW in progress. We're going to stick with the running backs. This could be my last podcast for a little bit. I officially have a ruptured Achilles tendon. I will be going under the knife shortly.
Gosh, Paul Perillo and David Beckham, stunned. You can use them in the same sentence
we'll
now.
See who gets, we'll see who gets back first.
Why, you're gonna shout out the World Cup there, fella?
Unbelievable. I still can't believe it's ruptured, but it is, and I will not be playing over 40 basketball for quite some time. I might not be ready until the over 50 league kicks in.
A year and a half? It's funnier when it's that late, actually, when he does that. How long are we going here?
He's not funny.
We haven't mentioned a running back yet. We're 10 minutes in.
Let's get to the running backs. Andy Hart, I know that the guy that we all like a lot, who probably will not be around for the Patriots' perusal, is C.J. Spiller. Although it depends on which mock that you check out. But what do you guys like about C.J. Spiller? Eric, and as you want to point out, Andy and Eric, you guys went to the combine. So
they did? I hadn't heard that.
Thanks. What did you guys love about C.J. Spiller?
I'm not sure there's anything to not love other than size.
Size.
You know, he lacks
size
ideal
matters,
size,
yeah.
But
yeah.
That seems to be kind of, you know, I've done the story on the lack of the ideal size at outside linebacker. Maybe that needs the ideal needs to be tweaked. I think the modern-day running back ideal is getting tweaked. We've seen enough that are undersized make big plays.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer need to carry the ball 25 times to have a huge impact on an NFL offense. C.J. Spiller, if you watch what he did at Clemson, just dynamic. Just touchdowns as a runner, a receiver, a returner, you know, just a playmaker. If you want to find kind of a negative from this experience in the postseason process, there were reports that he got a 10 on the Wunderlich, but I don't care. Running back would be one of the positions where I least care about the Wunderlich. If I hand you this football, can you get it from point A to point B, which is in the end zone? He can do that. I don't care what he knows.
It's about 85 to 90% instincts on running backs. I totally agree with that.
Right. So I think he's clearly the top back. I have my reservations about whether he's going to be the same guy he was in college. I mean, he was ridiculously
productive. He was Mr. Everything in college.
Yeah. I don't know the exact numbers just in terms of touchdowns and all that.
Well, he was such a home run hitter, too. I mean, he had so many long returns.
I think he's going to be a disappointment, personally, because I think the bar is set high. The expectation is set really, really high.
But I think the bottom line here for him, I think the worst case is that you end up with a dangerous return guy.
Oh,
now, you don't want to be drafting a guy like that in the first round or high in the first round.
I mean, I think worst case is, you know, Reggie Bush. He didn't live up to the hype. He didn't reach the bar that was set for him, but he's a good player.
Yeah. But Bush was
the
even considered,
him.
Bush
I,
was
I
considered the number one overall pick.
Right, and Spiller's below that.
He's
but
a little
and Reggie
below
Bush
that.
Would be a terrific player if you had taken him in the second or third round.
Right.
He was the number two overall pick.
Right. And if Spiller's
so he becomes
the 10th
a bust.
Pick.
And I agree with that, by the way. I don't think that's being harsh. When you take a guy with that high, he's got to be more than Reggie Bush has been.
I would kind of look to last year when we had Knowshon Moreno in this role and everybody thought he was the consensus best pick at running back. And, you know, I think he had an okay up and down year with Denver last year. But I would even say Spiller's even a little bit better than he
is. He's got definitely more big plays.
So if you want to compare how Moreno did in his first year try to project what Spiller's going to do, I think Spiller's going to have a better year than Moreno did.
Well, I think they're different. I mean, Spiller's more of a big play guy. Moreno a little bigger, a little more traditional size. I think a more traditional runner. Spiller, the versatility, puts him over the top in my mind. I don't think you'll ever regret having him on your team. I think he's a solid player. Obviously, senior year, when he got his degree, I don't know if you guys heard this story, at Clemson, the board of whoever runs the school, board of directors, board of
regents,
stood up and applauded, gave him a standing ovation in front of him. I mean, this guy had respect from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know, punk athlete that football got through. He was a leader, an on-campus guy. Everybody loved him. I don't think you'll regret having him on your team. He just may not be. I mean, I think people expect him to be immediately 1,200 yards, you know, 10 rushing touchdowns, 60 receptions with another six receiving touchdowns, maybe a return. Yeah, that's a high bar. Let's ease off a little bit. He's going to be a rookie running back in the National Football League.
All I'm saying. If I could just quibble on one thing about him based on what we saw on film, it's the one thing I always look for in running backs, just as the, you know, if I'm unsure about whether I want to rate them really high or really low, he doesn't switch hands with the football when he's near
the
sideline. He's always a right-hand guy, even if he's running to the left, which I think is a little bit, I mean, you can teach him not to do that, but I would think at this level he should know how to do that by now.
But we
how
all,
many touchdowns did it cost him in college?
Maybe not in college, right, but well, in the NFL that could make a difference.
There's actually a lot of guys in the NFL, and it drives Andy crazy because, you know, he likes to fancy himself as a running back.
No, it
there's
doesn't
a lot
drive
of guys in the
crazy.
NFL that don't switch hands.
I know, and
he's
it's frustrating.
He's going to be one of them
it's
as soon
like,
as he's drafted.
It's like Pro Bowl safeties who can't make tackles. It's very frustrating.
Well, that's a bit of a jump in your, yeah, your logic.
What?
Okay, let's move down the list.
Well, before we move down the list, we all identify Spiller as the best running back. Now, where do the Patriots come in terms of running back? Do you think it's a legitimate possibility that they use their first-round pick? Do you think
yes.
it's more legitimate than one of the three second-round? How much of a priority, before we get into all the rest of these guys, how much of a priority is running back in you guys' opinion?
Not a top priority in any fashion, but if the value is there, I think they would see it as a priority. It's all about value for that pick for me because I know fans want a running back. They hate Lawrence Maroney. They hate the committee. They want a guy, all that. Tell me, can you get by next year with what you have? Yes. I don't think you can say that at pass rusher, at wide receiver, at tight end. At running back, you have the bodies to get by, to be productive. Let's remember, this committee with Lamont Jordan instead of Fred Taylor rushed for 2,300 yards 2 years ago. You have the bodies. Mm. You don't need a body. It's not your top need. To me, it's not in your top five needs. But if, say, C.J. Spiller is on the board, okay, now I'm thinking it's a good pick.
Yeah.
So I think it's all about value at the selection, who they think is an elite back.
Eric, do you feel the same?
I would tend to agree. I expect Spiller at this point to be a top 10 pick somewhere in there. If he happens to slip to 15, 16, I think then maybe the Patriots might have to consider trading up a little bit, be a little bit aggressive, and maybe try to get him, and maybe not wait till he gets all the way down to 22. If he starts to get into that range, I think it would be tempting to do that for them. But like Andy said, you're not going to go into the draft targeting that. I think you should go and target your biggest need, which is the pass rusher.
I would tend to agree with both of you. I do understand the theory of the value being too good to pass up if a guy like Spiller would have slipped. But I don't think running back is much of a priority at all. And I'd be actually disappointed if they took a running back with one of those first four picks, unless it was a real extenuating circumstance, as you guys described. All right, there's a lot of pretty good backs in this draft.
That's another reason why I wouldn't reach what you just said, because I firmly believe a day two or day three back
is
going to
make an impact.
There will be a star in that class.
And there's varying styles, too. There's some bigger guys.
Oh, yeah.
There's some smaller guys.
Some of the
smallest
guys you've ever seen.
There's some small school guys. There's some third down back types. Who stands out? I mean, we have Best from Cal. We have McCluster at Ole Miss. Your guy from Buffalo, who unfortunately we didn't get a chance to watch any tape of, James Hardy. Ryan Matthews from
Fresno State.
Fresno State is perhaps the most productive guy in quite some time. He was pretty impressive. You have Fred's boy, Toby Gerhardt, who no one really is infatuated with. But
except
so many
Fred.
Different kinds of running backs. Who stands out here as possibilities once you get beyond that that first round level?
Beyond those first three of Spiller, Jonathan Dwyer, and Best.
Dwyer's been downgraded on the big board, just so you know.
On Andy's big board?
But
down arrow?
But you know, you laugh. But
no longer a top five back in my mind.
This is what I look
Not
for.
Even close.
The only reason why you had him up there that high is because he ran that stupid wishbone that you love.
Yes. Now I realized he benefited greatly from that wishbone that I love. not an elite NFL back, a big guy, bruiser, just not the style that works in the National Football League at this point. I actually think Best and Ryan Matthews are in the running for the second back off the board. Matthews, obviously, the more traditional
to those two guys
back.
Yep.
You know, could be a workhorse type back in the National Football League. Comes from the pro system of Pat Hill. I think he'll get a lot of love. I think Best is more electric potentially than Spiller. Mm. I think less plays maybe, but I think he has more of an electric pinball, that old Dante Hall or the Reggie Bush at USC, stop cuts, make people look silly, the Barry Sanders. I think Best, if he's healthy, and that's a big if,
is the best,
could be the best back in this draft in terms of
simple
per play production, because I think he's just electric. I think that's what he is.
I agree with Andy. My two stars, as you see there, Paul, were with Best and Matthews in the top 10 there. Lower than that, though, I didn't like what he did in the game against Boise State, but LeGarrette Blount looked pretty good to me on tape, and most of that tape was obviously from,
he's a good player,
from the previous seasons. Chris Brown of Oklahoma, a little bit smaller, kind of like Spiller, but I liked him. I liked the other kid.
Another
from,
good player.
I liked the other kid from Fresno State, actually, Lonnie Miller.
Big fan.
Liked him
a lot.
I think
he could be the steal. He certainly thinks he could be the steal. He described himself as the best back in the draft. 4-3 speed. I can catch the ball. I can block.
See,
pro
way,
offense.
Just let's hear 4-5.
Just never got a chance to play.
4-3.
Just never got a chance to play. Because
is he related to Everson Griffin by any chance?
No. Lost out. But he certainly, I mean, he looks the part. He's big, but he runs small at times in terms of athleticism and all that. I like him. I think Chris Brown was a product of the system. I don't think he's going to be a good pro. I think he had a lot of talent around him. I thought he had a lot of big holes to work with. Not a big fan. Johnson out of USC, great story, obviously, coming back from the weightlifting injury. I loved his attitude at the combine. Don't think he's going to be all that good of a pro. In those mid-round guys, some of the guys I really targeted, and I think the best mid-round guy available is an injury guy, Charles Scott, LSU, big boy. 6 foot, 230-plus, 4'7". Football speed, to me, doesn't look like an issue. Obviously, he comes in a conference where you're facing NFL talent, so if you look football fast in that conference, you're probably football fast. Had a bad shoulder, clavicle, dislocation, whatever, but he's a big back. I think he has great feet for his size, keeps his legs moving, breaks a lot of tackles, but the injury is amazing. He went to the Senior Bowl and failed the physical, was sent home, so his health status is the biggest issue.
We should mention with Best as well, you know, some concussion problems at Cal.
But not just that. He had a major elbow injury. Yeah. He had some leg injuries. He's small. He gets hurt. That's what happens.
Okay.
If he can play, he's great.
You guys got a chance to watch the tape. I didn't.
Yes.
For running backs so far. I was curious to see what you guys thought, and I don't think you thought a lot of him, Andy. Hardesty from Tennessee.
Just okay. It's funny. I didn't really like him. But the last guy I didn't really like at Tennessee, the last time I saw him, he was running all over the Patriots and Arian Foster. And I kind of had visions of the same thing. And
he's
I
a bigger guy, too.
He's a bigger guy.
I kind of like
215.
He's got a, I like a him as a mid-round. I like him as a mid-round. Not a guy, you know, I don't want to take him in the
another
second
injury
round.
Guy. Yeah, right. He had an ACL. He's had a lot of ankle sprains. And
I think he's got
really
some rocks in his pockets.
He seems like he's okay at everything but not great at anything.
Yeah, I'll tell you who the most overrated guy in the top of the draft is, Joe McKnight. Stinks.
Joe McKnight never showed me anything.
Great high school player, college player.
Joe McKnight
will be out of the league
in a couple
of years.
The Reggie Bush stuff,
right?
That's what he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be this dynamic.
He was. He was in high, but he did the Reggie Bush.
I don't think he ever was that guy.
He was Reggie Bush, literally, because he went from high school where he was Reggie Bush. When he went to the next level, he
wasn't
Reggie Bush.
Was already gone.
But he never did
it
at USC.
Have you seen high school highlight films and his numbers?
I haven't seen it.
I believe in high school, once every three touches as a runner was a touchdown. Once every two touches as a receiver was a touchdown. I mean, the guy was dynamite.
That's great stuff.
Now he's a Jag.
At high school and even at USC in the Pac-10 against that competition. But I don't think he can get away with what he got away with
in the
NFL.
He didn't. That's the thing.
He lost his playmaking ability. He was good, not great. He admits to it. He says, you know, his tale that he told at the combine was he was trying to be too much Reggie Bush. He bought in. He needs to be productive, not always looking for the big plays and the game. Video game type highlights and stuff. I just don't think he has it. I think what do we like to call it? The Peter Principle?
Mm-hmm.
His level where he topped out was USC. He was best in high school, could compete at USC. I don't think he'll be a very good NFL pro.
Anybody else stand out for you guys?
I got tons
of late round guys. Steals, gems, hidden.
I have a great steal out of Memphis, Curtis. Steele.
Curtis Steele. Oh, yeah, his name is Steele.
Big fan.
I don't know
him. 449, he's on the tape.
That's the first name you guys brought up that I didn't
the
know.
The worst thing about him is he really looks like Lawrence Maroney. He's got dreads, dances a little bit behind the line of scrimmage.
UConn, chill with the dreads and Andre Dixon, but I don't really like him.
He's a jagback.
Yeah, I've seen enough of him.
Andy, I wrote in my notes, not great moves, too flashy for his own good.
He is.
And he said Lawrence Maroney.
But he also makes plays. And I'm intrigued by him. There's another guy with dreads I could compare him to. The guy he went to school, the same school as, which would be D'Angelo Williams. So if we get D'Angelo Williams, I'm happy. If we get Lawrence Maroney, I'm not. But, you know, late round, you know, you're taking a shot at a guy. I actually think there's a lot of guys down there.
Yeah.
And the most intriguing, I don't know much about him, but just based on his tape, Brandon James out of Florida.
The little guy.
Dexter McCluster.
Yeah.
Plays receiver, lines up in the slot, plays in the running back, 5'7", 176. 4.42 guy, certainly has the speed, does all the returns. He is a pinball, certainly, bouncing around, making plays. And obviously we know the Belichick connection. I'm sure he's seen him. I mean, this is a low. This is a potential rookie free agent or seventh-round pick. We should mention, just want to inject this, I've seen some projections out there for compensatory picks. That'll be announced next week. Patriots are in line to get maybe 3 or 4 sevens, so maybe they can use one on Brandon James.
3 or 4 sevens. Oh,
yeah.
Happy day.
Yeah, how about that?
All those seventh-round bios.
I'll give you a couple of other names, a little bit bigger body ones. Pat Pascal from
That's another name I'm not familiar
North Dakota State, 6 feet, 206.
Wow.
For that size, he was pretty athletic, and I thought he had good speed and showed good vision following his blocks around.
I'm going to have
in the open field.
You disagree? Disagree.
You disagree?
I'm a big down arrow.
Really?
First, he's a character guy, which low-level guys, I try to stay away from character guys, was arrested at Georgia Southern and kicked out of Georgia Southern. That's how he ended up in North Dakota.
Oh.
I just didn't think he had elite football speed. I thought he was a weaver rather than a cutter, and I thought he was barely better than the competition he was facing on everything I saw.
If
you're barely better than your competition at North Dakota State, you're in trouble at the next level.
So kind of like Ramsey's Barden at wide receiver last year.
Small school, made big plays, but not all the time.
I expected to see him separate and dominate, and all I saw him do was outleap everybody.
If you're barely better than competition, then you're You're a little bit better than
I'll give you another one then. The Marshall guy. That's Darius Marshall from Marshall. 5'10", 190. He kind of reminded me a little bit of not really a poor man's, but a little bit one notch below Javid Best type in terms of the plays that we saw on his tape.
Yeah, I didn't really love him. Marijuana suspension is another issue. You like
you
these low character
all
guys.
All this character stuff.
I try to do a little research when I'm preparing to do this
stuff. That's a different.
But I thought he shied away from contact like Paul Perillo in high school.
Unbelievable.
I thought he had decent football speed, but he's another guy.
Over 40 league.
I thought he was another weaver, and I really don't like 5'9", 190 weavers. If you're going to be that small, I need sharp cuts. I can't have you weaving like Toby Gerhardt down the field.
You didn't like Gerhardt at all, by the way, right?
No.
Well, I mean,
as a fifth-round project fullback, sure. He's the next Heath Evans. I really believe he's Heath Evans.
I think he's
probably a very good guy. I think he's a pretty good athlete for what he is.
And before you come,
might get you 100 yards every now and then.
Could fill in, but if he's your top back, you're in trouble.
Right. LeRon McClain. To keep us away from being.
I think that's a little generous.
You don't even think he's as good as LeRon McClain?
No, I think LeRon McClain is pretty good.
And he's a stiff then, if he's not even as good as that.
Well, I think he's Heath Evans.
Can't be a tailback.
No.
He can be a fullback who can fill in once in a while.
I don't think Gerhardt has. LeRon McClain has broken some big plays from the fullback position. I'm not sure Gerhardt's going to be breaking any. He looks like he runs with cement blocks tied to his feet.
How about Roy Upchurch as a third down type?
Oh, Roy Upchurch. What did I write about him? Oh, I really liked him.
Hard-nosed runner.
I liked him.
Catches the ball out of the backfield. Very tough runner. People are raving about him as like one of those backup steals, you know, overshadowed by the guy in front of him.
Kind of like Felix Jones a couple years ago. He made a lot of big plays for Alabama. That's why he stands out. Like, they went to him in key spots.
And I'm thinking specifically
at the end of the Auburn game.
One of the bowl games, he impressed as well. Senior Bowl, maybe.
I think he's one of those third down types.
Saban's been selling him pretty hard, if I can recall correctly.
All right, so a lot of good running backs available.
One last guy who had a great pro day supposedly the other day. Haven't seen film on him. Southern Illinois.
Salukis.
Yes. Deji Karim led the country in rushing last year.
Why do you have to say it like that?
I don't know how to say it. Dejikarim. I don't know how to say it.
Eric, thoughts?
I think he did fine.
16, almost 1,700 yards, 18 touchdowns, and Southern Illinois, somebody else came out of there recently, didn't they? Another running back that got a look in the NFL? If I remember correctly. All he keeps saying is the Saluki.
The guy's useless on these podcasts.
I don't know.
Glad he made it back from the doctor.
You don't even know how to pronounce the guy's name. How am I supposed to know him?
I resign.
And I don't have any more late round steals. That's all I got.
Good thing he's not from Northern Illinois, because then we'd have to hear all about the
Huskies.
Right, about the logo stealing from those Huskies somebody else's
colors.
And the logo, too, right?
So, okay, Eric, pick a guy. Go ahead.
Low round?
Wherever you think the Patriots could pick a guy.
Sometime before we run out of videotape here.
Needs time to get back to his ACL. His Achilles issue.
I'll go with LeGarrette Blount. Mid-round, I think they'll take a chance on him.
First of all, it's LeGarrette. Don't you know how Fred pronounces it?
Well, that's true, yes. And LeGarrette Blount.
Blount or something, too.
Both wrong.
LeGarrette.
Because I think I think if it weren't for the incident last year, he might have had first-round consideration. But because of what happened, I think he's going to slip a little bit. Teams might be a little shy to go with him. So either with one of those second-round picks or maybe the fourth-round pick on day three, I think they might take a chance on him.
I'm going to cheat and give two.
Okay.
A big bruiser, Charles Scott, LSU. They'll take the chance.
I don't like him as much as you do.
Antoine Womack, you know, the injury thing, they'll wait a year, whatever they got to do. Worked out well with Antoine Womack, so they'll go that route. And this guy, Brandon James, Florida. As their slot, low McCluster, we'll use him in a variety of ways.
We want a guy like that, but there's no value in McCluster.
Exactly.
Everybody's
looking at McCluster. We'll get this guy in the sixth round that you're going to waste a second round.
Boy, am I tired of that theory. I hope you're wrong. But we'll handle maybe wide receivers next week. What do you think? Next week, we'll handle why we she was.
Next week,
what do you think? Next week?
I don't know who we is going to be.
It's
going to
be
me
next week, I think.
Indy, what would you like to discuss next week?
I guess I'll do wide receivers. Does anybody work here anymore? Does anybody work for this team anymore?
Sorry, some of us have health issues we need to deal with.
The answer to that is no. Eric is also having a procedure.
Having a procedure done and nothing to worry about.
Andy may be hitting you solo next week. God help you all. But
I'll get B-Low or somebody to come down.
Oh, that'll be good.
Two-man show.
Oh, that'll be a good half-hour podcast.
There's no way
he's going to talk about 20 minutes. The brightest guy in the world.
There's no way you get a draft podcast in under 2 hours with B-Low involved. But anyway,
maybe I should just stay alone.
We're going to put a wrap on this St. Patrick's Day edition of the Running
Back
Review.
I swear we weren't drunk.
I wish I were, and then this was all a dream, and I don't have to have surgery. But unfortunately, I'm out, Brick. We were going to go drink. Andy Hart with wide receivers next week. We were going to go drink.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.